Yeah, so thank you so much for coming and joining us today, this morning, as we celebrate. We join together alongside with a multitude of believers across the globe, not only in Africa, not only in Zambia, everywhere celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. So today is the Resurrection Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. And you may wonder why reading such a psalm, as you'll see in a minute or so, on a day like this, a day of celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will take us through. Please keep your Bibles open on that very passage that Isaac has just read, Psalm 88. We will go through this passage together. But just before we go any further, let me pray once again for God's help. Lord, we thank you so much that we are celebrating today and remembering the death and resurrection of your Son, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, this morning we pray as we navigate through Psalm 88, as we believe and know that it is your death and your burial and your resurrection that have given a meaning to Psalm 88. God, help us to celebrate the risen Lord this morning, and help me to be faithful and clear as I deliver your word to your people. And help every one of us to be attentive, to hear your word, and to be encouraged by this event of the risen Lord. Be with us, Lord. And we also pray for those that will be listening to this recording later on, that God, they will be blessed and they will be encouraged, that they will get to know the hope of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, as you keep your Bibles open on Psalm 88, and the title of my sermon this morning is Out of the Depths Towards the Dawn. Out of the Depths Towards the Dawn. And you'll see what actually is going to make a difference to help us navigate through the depths, through the dawn, is the event that we are celebrating this morning, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we are trying to do this morning is to read Psalm 88 in light of Christ's death and resurrection. Reading Psalm 88 in light of Christ's death and resurrection. And the theme that I want us to grasp at the end of the day is that even in the darkest night of the soul, God is still present. Even in the darkest, night of your soul, God is still present. And through Christ's resurrection, we see that death is not the end. Death is not the end. We will see that as we go through Psalm 88. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not the end. And what I'm aiming at as I'm going through with you and with us together through Psalm 88, what I'm aiming at is to lead us this morning to see the sorrow of Psalm 88. Because you'll see that Psalm 88 is flooded with a sorrowful language. So we will see the sorrow of Psalm 88 not as the absence of God, but as the anticipation of the death and the resurrection hope that is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my aim. In case you are wondering why taking such a psalm on a Sunday when everyone is joyfully rejoicing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why taking us back to a sorrowful psalm? The aim is so that as the people of God, we may see that the sorrow that we see in Psalm 88 is not the absence of God, but we are going to see in anticipation of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start this morning by reminding us that there are seasons in life, and perhaps you and I have already known one of these seasons, when the sky never seems to break with light. Maybe you've known such a season in your life. When the sky seems never to break with light, when it is just darkness throughout in your life. Some examples that may help us to understand such a season. For example, a mother buries her third child in 3 years, and she wonders whether her womb is cursed. Another example may be, you know, a young man full of life in the city of Lusaka, full of life and energy and full of dreams. And this young man, you know, lies on a clinic bed with diagnosis of a chronic disease that swallows all his dreams. Think about something like that. Or think about a faithful elder, you know, who has been, you know, suffering with illness for a very long time, and he has been praying for healing, but death visits his home again. Brothers and sisters, we know this world. This is our world. This is ours. It's not even hypothetical. It is our world. And what do we say when the prayers go for a very long time unanswered? You've been praying for this particular condition of yours for a very long time, and your prayers have gone unanswered. When healing does not come, you've been going through a chronic illness for a very long time and praying over it, but healing does not come. What do we say when even other believers, even the people who are very close to you, friends and brothers and sisters, have turned away uncomfortably? They have become uncomfortable with the depth of your pain. When you begin to go through some kind of pain, at the beginning, maybe friends and relatives may come closer to you. But as you keep on going through the same condition for a very long time, they turn away. They become uncomfortable with the deep pain that we are going through. This is our world. This is where we live in, dear brothers and sisters. But in our African communities, we often hide sorrow, don't we? When you are in deep sorrow, you often hide it. We dress it in strong faces. We spiritualize our sorrow too quickly. You know, we are taught by so many people in our culture not even to question. When you are going through a terrible situation, don't question. We are taught not even not to doubt. Do not doubt anything like that. But what we are taught in African context when we go through a situation like that, it is always to declare victory. Always to say all is well. And not to doubt and not to question, not to lament, not to grieve, not to cry. That's what we are taught in African context. We dressed our sorrow with strong faces as if nothing is happening in our lives. But not Psalm 88, dear friend. Not Psalm 88, because Psalm 88 will not let us do that. Because what Psalm 88 is doing, you know, what it does, it gives us permission to lament. It gives us permission to grieve. It gives us permission to cry. It gives us permission to languish. But how do we do that? It gives us permission to cry and lament deeply, honestly and faithfully. Even for believers, even for faithful believers, we can lament, we can grieve deeply, honestly. Be honest as you go through that, and faithfully before God. You know why? Because lament is not unbelief. We have a lot of psalms of lament in the book of Psalms, many of them, and they are part of our Bible. Lamenting and languishing and crying is not unbelief, dear brothers and sisters. You know what it is? It is rather faith that bleeds. It's the faith of a believer who is bleeding in the presence of his Creator. Psalm 88 does not rush us so quickly to resurrection as we are celebrating this morning, but it walks us through the night. This morning, on the Resurrection Sunday, We tend to what is known and arguably, I'm going to share with you this morning, as the darkest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 88 is the darkest psalm ever in the Bible. I hope people are listening. Not to deny the glory of resurrection. The reason why we have gone to Psalm 88 this morning, dear brothers and sisters, is not because we are trying to deny the glory of the resurrection. Because today is the day of the resurrection of the Lord. Why have we gone back to Psalm 88? A psalm that is known as the darkest psalm, not only in the book of Psalms, but in the entire Bible. We've gone there not because we deny the glory of the resurrection, but it's because we want to understand the glory of the resurrection more fully. Why? For we know that unless we know the grave, we cannot truly rejoice in the empty tomb. Unless we understand the grave, we cannot fully appreciate and understand the resurrection and the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 88 is the prayer of a believer. It's not a prayer of a non-believer. It's a prayer of a faithful believer in a covenant relationship with God, who is drowning in suffering, in deep sorrow, who sees no sunrise in his life, and yet still calls out to God. And in that cry, this faithful believer, in that persistent and faithful lament, we begin to see the shape of the greater story. A story that leads not around suffering, but through it, we will see the risen Christ. Psalm 88 is often called the darkest psalm in the entire Bible. You know the reason why it's called the darkest psalm? Because Psalm 88 actually does not follow the pattern of all the songs of lament that we have in the Bible. We have so many psalms of lament. It's not the only one that brings sorrow like this. For instance, when you read Psalm 39, it has got almost the same language as Psalm 88, Psalm 44, and Psalm 77. They've got almost the same language as Psalm 88, but this one is unique. Psalm 88 is unique because it doesn't follow the pattern of all the lament, the psalms of lament that we know. What do we normally get when you read a psalm of lament? Like Psalm 39, for instance, 44 and 37. Four things you see there quickly. What you see in a psalm of lament, first and foremost, is what we call a cry of distress. There's acknowledgement of suffering first. The psalmist will acknowledge their suffering, whether that suffering is emotional or spiritual, or it is a physical suffering. There is always acknowledgement of that suffering in the Psalms of Lament. The second thing you see in the Psalms of Lament is what we call a plea for help. You see that the psalmist begins to call on God for deliverance. Having acknowledged their suffering, they will call on for God, deliver me out of this suffering. That's the second thing you see in all songs of lament. There's a plea to seek for God help. And that help is, God, deliver me out of this situation. The third thing you see in the Psalms of Lament is a statement of trust. You see that the psalmist will actually show confidence in God's faithfulness. You'll see that it's actually from distress to confidence. And the last thing you see in all songs of lament is actually praise and thanksgiving. There's an assurance of God's response. There's an anticipation that God will respond and then will take me out of this situation. And in anticipation to that, the psalmist will praise God. This is what you see in almost all songs of lament, but not Psalm 88. Psalm 88 does not have any sign of explicit hope. Nothing like that. It is darkness throughout, from the beginning to the end. In fact, the ESV has quoted, as translated very correctly, like in the original Bible. The last word in Psalm 88, as you can see in your ESV, that is darkness. So Psalm begins with sorrow throughout. It ends in darkness, without any glimpse of hope. That's why it is the darkest psalm ever. In Psalm 88, you don't get a phrase like, "But I will trust you." There is no something, such a thing like that in Psalm 88. There is no such a thing as, "And yet I will praise you." There is no any sign of hope, any sign of anticipation that this particular psalmist will come out of this situation. Yet, dear friend, this is scripture. It is part of our Bible. And then you wonder where you are seated and why choosing such a psalm on a Resurrection Sunday? Why the darkest psalm ever on a day that everybody is rejoicing and celebrating the risen Lord? By the way, this psalmist's situation has been a long time situation. When you read with me, you know, Psalm 88 and see verse 1, "O Yahweh, God of my salvation," listen to what he says, "I cry out day and night before you." Day and night before you. It's a cry of a languishing soul day and night. Not only that, have a look at verse 9. "My eyes grow dim through sorrow." And listen to what he says again. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. It appears like the psalmist has been going through a condition for a long time. Not for one day, not for a month, not for weeks, but for a very long time. It has been in this condition. If you want to confirm that, have a look at verse 15. Listen to what it says. "Afflicted and close to death, from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless." From my youth up. He's been in this condition for a very long time. The psalmist has been going through a grieving moment for a very, very, very long time, and is crying before God. It has been darkness all over and throughout the entire of his life. He's never seen any glimpse of light in his life. It's sorrow throughout, and yet he goes to God and pray. But why do we have such a psalm in our Bible? It is scripture. Psalm 88, it is scripture. It is breathed out by God for instruction. It is breathed out by God for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It is part of the Word of God. Even if there is no any glimpse of hope in Psalm 88, it is the Word of God for us. Even if we don't find any sign of praise in Psalm 88, it is the scripture that God has given to us for reproof, for correction, for training us. Even if you don't get any phrase like, "And I will trust you," it is the languishing of a soul throughout, from the beginning to the end. It is throughout darkness all over the place. It is still the Word of God. Then the question is, why is such a psalm read on a Resurrection Sunday? Why should we read such a psalm on the day when we are celebrating the day of the resurrection of the Lord? It is because the resurrection is not the denial of suffering, dear brothers and sisters. Resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the denial of suffering and death. It is the vindication of the one who entered into the depth for us. And I want us to go through this Psalm 88 together, and I will share with us four main points. The first one that I want to share with you this morning, I want to see and observe the reality of unrelieved darkness. The reality of unrelieved darkness. At times, even believers, even faithful believers, at times they may go through a very long time of darkness that does not seem to be relieved. They may or may not find solution in this side of heaven. That is real. It may not be your situation, but it may be a situation of somebody you know. Maybe somebody close to you that you know. They may have been going through a condition for a very long time, and that condition may or may not find answers in this life. Is that real? Yes. There's a reality of unrelieved darkness, and I want you to see verse 4 of chapter 88, for example. Have a look at verse 4. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead. That's verse 5. Have a look at verse 6. You have put me in the depths of the pit. This is the psalmist telling God that he's the one who has put him in the depth of the pit in verse 6. In the regions dark and deep. What do we see here? I want you to observe the first thing that we observe in this first point is the language of death. The psalmist is in a condition that is actually taking him close to death. There's a lot of languages here of death. Have a look at verse 3. He's using Sheol. Look at verse 3. For instance, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to what? To Sheol. That's the language of death. His condition, whether it was a spiritual suffering, as we are going to see it, he's gone through a threefold suffering. A physical suffering, a spiritual suffering, even emotional suffering that has led him to death. Very close to death. This is what he's saying in verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. That's the language of death. Look at verse 5. He goes on to say, like one sets close among the dead. His condition is as good as somebody who is dead, verse 5. And he goes on to say, like the slain that lies in the grave. Another language of death, in the grave. Have a look at verse 6. You have put me in the depths of the pit. Another language of death. And the regions dark and deep where there's no hope. So he's not just talking about being in the grave. He's also imagining himself, because of his condition, that he's already living in the regions of the dead people. The psalmist feels like he has already died. He's already cut off from God, from his family members, even from any human being. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about darkness and pit, because that's how the Old Testament people used to think of the regions of the dead people. It's a place of darkness, of no hope at all. And this is the language we see in Psalm 88. And this is a reality. The reality of somebody who has gone through a painful situation for a very long time and is considering himself as already dead, as in the lands of the dead already. But it's not the only thing you observe in the reality of unrelieved darkness. The other thing you observe is a Godward cry in the dark. This person is now crying to God. He's not blaming the devil for his situation. He's not blaming any person in his life, whether his uncles or his aunties. He's not blaming anyone, but he's believing that God is the one who is a sovereign, who has allowed and sent such a situation in his life. Because you can see how much he's using the word, the pronoun, you have done this for me. Look at verse 13. But, oh Yahweh, I cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. Look at verse 14. Oh Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? So he's actually saying God is the one who has put him in that condition. He's crying to God. Even if he's in a long condition that takes him to death, but he is going back to God despite the feeling of abandonment. He prays. Even if he feels like he has been abandoned by God, but what does he do? As a believer, he still goes back to God and pray. He doesn't forsake the prayer. That's what all faithful believers do. And this is a reality. You may be a believer. Sometimes you may go through a condition. For a very long time, that does not mean that you have to abandon to go back to God and pray. You may even feel like God has abandoned you. You will see in a minute, because that's what he says. Even when you have that feeling that you have been abandoned, but he goes back to God and pray. Look at verse 1. This is what he says in verse 1. Oh, Yahweh, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. He's still praying before God. And almost four times he's using the word Yahweh. Yahweh is a covenant name of God. Have a look at verse 1, for instance. He says, oh Lord, the L capital letter, O capital letter, R capital letter, and D in your Bible, that's the translation of Yahweh. And that name is a covenant name of God. Despite his long condition, he uses this word often. Look at verse 1. O Yahweh, God of my salvation. Have a look at verse 9. He goes on again. He uses the same. My eyes grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Yahweh, in verse 9. Look at verse 13. But O Yahweh, cry to you, O Lord, I cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you, in verse 14. O Yahweh, he uses the name Yahweh, even in that condition. What does that mean? It means that faith does not deny darkness, but it brings darkness to the covenant Lord. If you are a man or a woman of faith, even when you go through the darkest moment of your life, real faith does not deny suffering. Real faith does not deny the darkness you are going through, but you bring that darkness back to God, the Lord God of covenant. He's still calling God Yahweh. Another thing you observe in the reality of unrelieved darkness, friends, it is anticipation of the suffering servant. You may wonder, why do we have such a psalm in the Bible? It's because Psalm 88 was anticipating the suffering of the man of sorrow, anticipating Jesus Christ is going to come and go through the darkest moment ever for our lives. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, we read, Jesus is the man of sorrow. Jesus is the one who experiences the shadow of all the things that the psalmist has been going through. In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, the powerful sermon of the Apostle Peter. This is what he says to Jesus. He says, he calls Jesus a man who was acquainted with grief. Psalm 88 is fulfilled by Jesus. And Jesus is the one who descended into Sheol. We always say that, isn't it? Even in our confession of the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. We always say that. And when you read the preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, and in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, we see Jesus descending into Sheol. So Psalm 88 anticipated someone in future, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to go through the real darkness ever. For us, the one who's going to go even into the shell ever. This is what we see, friends. The first point in my sermon is that there is a reality of unrelieved suffering. It may not be you. Sometimes God may answer you as you go through that long-term or chronic illness. It could be an emotional pain. It could be a condition that you're going through. He may or may not give you answer in this life. And this is real. That's one of the reasons why we have Psalm 88 in the Bible. Is to validate that pain is real. Suffering, even a prolonged one, even for believers, it is real. It's a reality that we have. The second thing I want you to observe in Psalm 88 is the isolation of the suffering soul. The isolation of a suffering soul. When a soul is into pain, physical pain, for a very prolonged time, emotional pain, for a very long time. Spiritual pain for a very long time, as we see here. This psalmist has been in these conditions from the time he was still young. What do we see here? We see an emotional pain of a person who is now isolated. Have a look at verse 8 of Psalm 88. This is what he says, verse 8. You have caused my companions to shun me. You, is talking about God, made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. This is very different from what we hear from many of our charismatic churches. Whenever you are going through a condition like this, do you have somebody to blame? It's the devil you blame. It's back to the sender. You know, Mike was just blaming Microsoft from the devil this morning. Microsoft is from the devil. We blame. So when you go through a long, prolonged situation, you have somebody to blame. If not somebody from your family members, maybe it's a neighbor around. You know why? It is because they've taught us for a very long time something that has created in us what I always tell you, a big devil and a small God. We have developed that kind of mindset. We have a big devil and a small God. Because the devil is too big in our lives, he's the one we see in every situation. You can't miss it because it's too big. Because God is too small, you can only see God when everything is going on well. But it's surprisingly see how the psalmist is having the big God and a small devil. Ultimately, it is God sovereign who has allowed that condition in his life. As a believer, we see God. We can't miss it. It is God who's big in our lives. It's not the devil. It's not that witch or wizard out there who is big. We don't even see them. We see God in our lives. That's what he's talking about here. The soul of this psalmist is isolated. And it says, God, you have even caused my companions, those who have been close to my life, away from me. Brothers and sisters, this is reality. This is reality. For a believer who has been forsaken by his fellow friends, not only fellow friends, even his brothers. Because at the end, look at verse 18, the last verse of 88. Look at what it says. You have caused, he's telling God, you have caused my beloved, not only my beloved, and my friend to shun me. Who has done this? You, God. You've done this. And he goes on to say, my companions have become darkness to me. Have become darkness to me. What do we see here, friend? Well, we observe in this passage that we see this man is a forsaken man. He's a forsaken man. The lament intensifies. The grief of his soul goes up and so deep. It becomes what we call relational abandonment. He's abandoned even by people very close to him. It becomes what we call social exile. He's far away from his society. It becomes what we call even physical weakness. It has intensified. This is the isolation of the suffering soul. Look at what he says in verse 8. I am a horror to them. This is what he says in verse 8. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them, to my companions. I am shut in so that I cannot even escape. There's no hope. He's a forsaken man. He's isolated. He feels lonely, far away from his friends. Have you ever felt like that before? Yes. Even when you are a believer, even when God has given you as a means of grace, the company of brothers and sisters, I'm here to remind us this morning that there's a reality, that there's a moment you can feel like you've been abandoned by friends, and then they see you like an horror, object of reversion. Can't you see this in the life of Jesus, the man of sorrow, especially during Easter? Yes. We see Jesus, who is the man who has been forsaken. We see in the life of Jesus, his friends that he's been with for 3 years, walking with them. None of them was with him when Jesus was going to the cross. They all left him. In fact, by this time when Jesus is on the cross, even Joseph, his adopted father, was not alive. Maybe he was gone already. We only see the mother, Jesus Christ, and only one disciple. All those who actually were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus, Son of David," they were the ones who were now shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was forsaken by the society, by the very people who ate bread and fish. They saw Jesus' miracles. He is the man who has been abandoned. Jesus has gone through. Psalm 88 is pointing to Jesus, the man of sorrow. The man who has been forsaken by his own. The man who was on the cross crying. The other thing you see in Psalm 88, dear brothers and sisters, is the silence and the grave. The silence and the grave. Look at verse 10. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Because this is what he feels. He feels like he's already gone in the regions of the dead people. Look at verse 11. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? And all these questions, they beg the answer. And the answer is no. Or your faithfulness in Abaddon, no. Verse 12. Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? What do we see? We see silence, completely silence in his life. This man has been in this condition for a very long time, and it appears like God has been silent. No answer has ever been given to this man. He's gone through this situation for a very long time. What he sees is the grave, is the region of the dead people. He's even asking, can the dead praise? Is there faithfulness in the grave? No wonder I told you from the beginning that Psalm 88 is the darkest psalm ever. There is no glimpse of explicit hope. This person is praying, is not even anticipating that at any moment God is going to answer. He's been in this situation for a very long time. These questions are not theological denials, but the experiential despair. Here the psalmist is experiencing a spiritual pain. The spiritual pain of God's silence. It does feel like that. Sometimes God is silent in your life. But as I'm going to tell you in a minute, friends, the silence of God is not the absence of God. The fact that God appears to be silent in your life, it does not mean that God is absent. He is ever-present help in our lives. Even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't see like God is very close. His silence is not his absence. He's ever there with us. Keep praying, brothers and sisters. Even when your condition has been a prolonged condition for a very long time, keep praying even when you do not feel heard by God. Keep going back to God of covenant and pray. You know what? Because the Bible says the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. If you run out of words when you are going through a terrible condition, Psalm 88 has given you words. Psalm 88 has given you a voice. It has given a voice to all languishing souls. You can use the words of Psalm 88 before the Lord. When you don't have words, you know what? The Holy Spirit will pray for you. That's what we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When you feel like you cannot pray, you know what? Apart from the Spirit, the Son of God intercedes for us. When you feel like you cannot pray anymore, you have the sorrow in your heart. The Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, he prays and intercedes for us. So you are never unheard. The psalmist cannot see. You know why he's crying like this? is because the psalmist does not have the reality of the New Testament. He does not have what we celebrate today. He cannot see beyond death. He can't. But the New Testament answers his question. All these questions that we see in Psalm 88, they are all answered in the New Testament. They are answered in the resurrection of the Lord. With the resurrection of Jesus now, we can see beyond death. We can see faithfulness in the grave. All these questions that he's asking. Look at the first question that he comes up with in verse 10. Do you work wonders for the dead? Because he cannot see beyond the grave. Look at verse 10 once again. Do the departed rise up to praise you? He does not have the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. No wonder he's crying like this. Look at verse 11, another question. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? All these answers that we get the no answer in the Old Testament, the New Testament gives us the answers in the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus was raised from the dead, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5. The angel came and he asked all those who were coming, especially the women who went early in the morning to go and see the grave of Jesus. You know what? One of the questions they received from the angel is, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why? The resurrection of Jesus has given us the answer. In Christ the dead do declare his wonders. Because we don't see that in Psalm 88. But with the resurrection of Jesus, the dead, they declare the wonders of Jesus. In Psalm 88, we see there is no faithfulness. This is what we see in verse 11. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? No. According to Psalm 88. Or your faithfulness in Abaddon? No. But with the resurrection of Jesus, we see that there is faithfulness in the grave. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death. Let me take you through quickly my third point. The crisis of God's silence. The crisis of God's silence. This is what we see in verse 13 onward. This is a spiritual pain. The psalmist was not just going through a physical pain, not only as emotional pain, but also spiritual. He felt like God was silent. Look at verse 13. This is what he says. But I, O Yahweh, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you, O Yahweh. Why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? That's what he feels. Look at verse 14. O Yahweh, why do you cast my soul away? Where do you hide my face out from me? What do we observe? We see here a cry in the morning. In the morning he comes before God. He cries again. Even when he does not anticipate any possible answer. But he goes back to God. And he cries in the morning. When you see the word in the morning there, it reminds us on the resurrection imagery of Jesus. Joy comes in the morning. But yet here in Psalm 88, the dawn brings no light, only the persistent question of why. A lot of questions. This is one thing you see in almost all the songs of lament. The question why and how long, oh God. The other thing you observe in this is there's no visible answer. Even when there's no visible answer, the psalmist still goes back to God and pray. The psalmist does not hear a reply from God. God has been silent for a long time. God has not been in his life. But because he's a faithful believer, he still goes back to God and pray. And what do we see here, friends? Faith is not the absence of lament. Let me say that again. Faith, having faith in God, is not the absence of languishing soul. It's not the absence of lament. It is a persistent prayer in the absence of answers. Even when there are no answers, you persist to pray. You still go back and cry out to this God. That's what faith means. It's not the absence of languishing soul. It's not the absence of grief. It is actually being persistent even in absence of answers that you've been looking for. God may answer those whys of your life or not. Another thing you observe here, dear friends, is that this particular section, it actually points us to Jesus on the cross. Jesus also felt the absence, the silence of his Father. He felt it, although the Father has never abandoned his Son. But Jesus felt the silence of his Father. No wonder on the cross, in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt the silence of his Father when he was going through the darkest long time, when the weight of your sins and my sins were upon his shoulders. When he was forsaken, he was going through that condition. Even his Father, Jesus felt that he was silent. He cried out to God, why have you forsaken me? But you know what? Unlike in Psalm 88. Psalm 88, you know the last word? I'm sure you know by now the last word in Psalm 88. What is it again? Darkness. But darkness is not the last word in the cry of the Lord Jesus. The last word is the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. In the gospel, the last word is not death, is not suffering, is not pain, is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus has given full meaning of Psalm 88. Now we can understand and appreciate Psalm 88 in the light of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go to the last point and see the resurrection fulfillment. Christ carries Psalm 88 through the grave. Psalm 88 is carried by Jesus in the grave. In Psalm 16 and verse 10, this is what we read. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. This was a prophecy in the Old Testament talking about Jesus. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. But that's what we saw in Psalm 88. He's crying because there's no hope for him. But Jesus says God is not going to abandon his soul in the Sheol. Friends, Jesus is the one truly slain in darkness. Is the one who truly slain in darkness, unlike the psalmist we see in 88. In Acts chapter 2, verse 27 and 31, it quotes Psalm 16, but fulfills the hope of Psalm 88. The resurrection shows that Sheol has been breached. Psalm 88 finds its hope in Christ. Psalm 88 end with the light, without light, but not without prayer. The final hope, dear friends, of Psalm 88 is not found in Psalm 88. The final hope is found in the empty tomb, in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though the last word of Psalm 88 is darkness, but that's not the last word of the gospel. The last word of the gospel is Jesus is risen. Now, what can I say for the church today as we read Psalm 88 in light of the resurrection of Jesus? What can we say for the church today? This is what we can say. Number one, many believers, many suffer unrelieved darkness. We have so many brothers and sisters across the world. They suffer a prolonged time of grief. Sometimes it's depression, sometimes it's grief, or maybe a chronic illness, or maybe injustice for a very long time. Psalm 88 gives them a voice. When we see a brother or a sister experiencing a situation like this, maybe depression as a condition for a long time, maybe grief for a very long time, Psalm 88 gives them a voice. But you know what? Even if Psalm 88 gives them a voice, But the resurrection of Jesus gives them the future. They have a voice in Psalm 88. They have a future in the resurrection of Jesus. Christ meets us, each one of us, in the pit, and he leads us out by the resurrection life. In concluding, dear brothers and sisters, Psalm 88 is not an accident psalm. It was not inserted in the Bible by mistake. It was by mistake that, no, it is a word of God. It's a prayer of the suffering faithful. It's faith that bleeds. But on a resurrection Sunday like today, Psalm 88 is now heard anew. We see it in a new ways. First and foremost, we see the dead, that the dead can praise God. Because in Psalm 88, we see that the dead cannot praise God. But as we see Psalm 88 in the light of the resurrection of Jesus, now we can see that even dead people can praise God. We can see that God's wonders are known even in the darkness. Something we cannot see in Psalm 88. But in the resurrection of the Lord, even the wonders of God are known in darkness. In Psalm 88, we see that there's no faithfulness in the grave. But in the resurrection of Jesus, faithfulness does exist in the grave because Christ walked in and out of it. Friends and brothers in the Lord, let us hold fast to Christ, who bore the silence of Psalm 88 and broke it with the shout of resurrection. I am the living one. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. The shout of the resurrection. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive and forevermore. Amen. God bless.